You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight in the Cooligans, it is World Cup Qualifier Week, CONMEBOL, Football Sports Network, the hottest label in the game right now. We're going to be talking Champions League Final with Larry Nance Jr. of the Cleveland Cavaliers, the NBA, coming through right now.
Wow. Plus, we also got World Cup and Arsenal legend Gilberto Silva, who, by the way, is a co-worker of ours. And we're going to talk a little bit about Brazil and World Cup qualifying down in CONMEBOL. That and more today on the... Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
That is the correct energy, the correct attitude for this episode today.
This is crazy.
This is wild. We have two insane, wild guests.
That's today. Right. Me and you, baby. I can't believe we got us, to be completely honest with you.
Wow. How did they book us 242 times in a row?
Damn. Honestly, we need new representatives.
No, we are thrilled today because our first guest is going to be none other than Cleveland Cavaliers player Larry Nance Jr. Going to be joining us. We're going to be talking Chelsea a little bit.
And the man could jump out the gym, but he's going to be on our show.
And then after that, we're going to be talking to Gilberto Silva.
Hold on a second. Whoa. We're going to talk to Invincible, legend, World Cup winner. Mm-hmm. Brazil. Okay. Gilberto Silva.
So thrilled about that. So everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Cooligans today. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I am Alexis Guerrero.
Okay, this is it has a little samba in his yeah. name a little bit. You
Junior,
dance
I got to throw
it.
A little love to Larry Nance Jr.
but a lot to discuss. Obviously, the Champions League final just happened.
Also, we're the funniest and the gulliest. But you know that already. Anyway, important stuff happened.
But the Champions League final. Congratulations to Chelsea Football Club.
Just like we all said would happen, right?
Everyone. Yes, I made $4 billion because I bet correctly.
No. Exactly.
I gotta get my family back. I don't know.
I owe a lot of bad people a lot of money. No, it's no one thought that would happen. But here we are. Chelsea have now won two Champions League trophy.
Correct. And we have our first guest. We're going to spend some time talking to him about it. Alexis, you want to bring in our first guest?
All right, Christian. When we say we have great guests, oh boy, we're not even in the world of soccer right now. We're getting great guests from the world of the NBA.
This is absolutely insane. We have our first NBA player on our television show. If you're new here, this usually doesn't happen, so
no.
we're quite giddy.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing. This is also the first NBA first round pick we've ever spoken to.
Okay.
Wow, yeah, look, qué fancy, huh?
Okay. I didn't know. I feel like I should be wearing a tie. Okay?
Right, do we have to give a speech? Do we get to put on a hat? Right? Do I get to shake the commissioner's hand? What happens? This is absolutely amazing. Born and raised, well, at least we know he's born in Ohio, plays in Ohio. From your Cleveland Cavaliers, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Nance Jr., everybody!
Larry, what's good, man?
How we doing, guys? I appreciate the intro. Gosh, that's better than I get in my home at my own house. I need to come to this show more often.
You want me to do it? Hold on. Did he take out the garbage? No, he didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Nance Jr., everybody.
That's more like it, actually.
There you go. I got
that. Who installed this PA system in my living room?
This is rude. Yeah. Alexa can hear this.
Larry, dude, thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute honor. Look, I mean, yeah, you are our first NBA player on the show. We will talk some NBA in a moment, but we all know why you are here. Chelsea won the UEFA Champions League. Right. You know, we follow you on Twitter. We know you talk about Chelsea, and there's clear passion there in them Twitter fingers. So I want to, you know,
and just a quote: if our fans don't follow Larry Nance Jr. on Twitter, I believe the post was, "It was never in doubt." So, Christian, go ahead and ask the question you're asking now that there's context.
What was your reaction to Chelsea winning the Champions League against Manchester City, which most people outside of you did not think would happen?
So it was, I was in shock, to be honest with you. I was hoping we were going to win, but that's City. You know what I mean? That's Pep and De Bruyne. That's City. You know, everybody knows that. But when I saw the lineups come out, I was bummed Christian Pulisic wasn't starting, but I liked it. Raheem Sterling in the starting 11 for City. I you know what? He might still be in the in the pocket of Reece James. So it was never in doubt.
Reece James played out of this world. It's absolutely incredible. I did not think in any way, shape, or form. I didn't think Chelsea stood a chance, whether Pulisic was starting or not. But one of the things that I guess I didn't give enough credit to is just how much Tuchel changed this team around. Mm-hmm. Were you confident when they got rid of Frank Lampard? Are you that much of a Chelsea fan that you were like, no, we need Frank here?
No, I was a Frank guy. I'm still a Frank guy. I mean, Frank is, when I first got into Chelsea, Frank was the man. So, like, he still is the man to me. And when we got rid of him, it hurt a little bit, but at the same time, like, looking back on it, I don't know.
You're like, maybe he could have a job in the front office.
I know we do president of basketball operations. Maybe he could do, like, you know, president of soccer operations, football operations.
What made you choose Chelsea?
Gosh. So, 2010 World Cup, South Africa. Samuel Eto'o for Cameroon was on fire. Their team was exciting. They were dancing. They were scoring. It was a lot of fun. And Samuel Eto'o became my favorite player, period. And then, so I was a fan of his. And then went to college. And then got caught up in basketball. And, you know, first few years of college, now wasn't worried too much about some soccer. When I got back into it, I was like, all right, immediately I need to go find Samuel Eto'o again. And for that 1 year, he was on Chelsea. And so I started watching the games and didn't know anything about Chelsea, didn't know Manchester, didn't know any club teams whatsoever. Started watching him and Chelsea, and then it just, my love for them grew from right then. And, you know, it was David Luiz, Frank Lampard, Ramirez, that whole group that was just so much fun to watch and play with on FIFA, which was a huge bonus. So that's kind of where my fandom stemmed from, and now I follow like the academy kids on Instagram and whatnot. I followed Billy Gilmore like 2 years ago on Instagram, so like, yeah, he's kind of my finding.
You're like, we need you kids. He's like, who's this NBA player yelling at me to play better? I'm 17.
Can I share our Samuel Eto'o story? Because we actually met Samuel Eto'o in Florida, in Bradenton. It was like a youth tournament, and he was there kind of inspiring the Barcelona Academy kids. But while we were all in the same green room, and it was Samuel Eto'o and then also Ali Krieger and Ashlyn Harris, and we're really close friends with Ali and Ashlyn, and we were talking to Ali and Ashlyn for like an hour, and Samuel Eto'o is just across the room, and we're just absolutely ignoring this legend.
And he's looking over at us like, shouldn't you be talking to me? No offense, ladies.
I'm the important one here.
Oh, man. His assistants were like, no, we'll go get someone to talk to you if you want someone to talk to you. Also, we met him twice. We actually met him doing an event here in New York.
Yeah.
And I just started speaking English to him, and one of his helpers came, and he was like, you could speak to him in French, in Spanish, in this. Yeah. Like, he listed all the languages he knows. He goes, he's not that good at English. I mean, he's almost as good at English as me, and I don't speak all those other languages. I only speak Spanish. What the hell's going on, Samueletto?
Oh, man, you guys met him. I would love to meet him once. I swear, I've got this, you know, I play sports, so I've got this jersey full of, this basement full of jerseys and whatnot. That is the one that I want.
If I
could have one, like I've got my Kobe one down here. I've got Dirk and Dwayne Wade and all these guys, Thibaut Courtois, Kevin De Bruyne. I want Samueletto more than any jersey in the entire world. Frank Lampard.
Now that you say that,
although I don't care,
there's going to be some Arsenal fan or some Tottenham fan that's going to send you his jersey from Anji Mahachkala when he played in Russia.
And that'll go up. As long as he signs it, it'll go up. I don't care if it's a garbage bag that he wore.
Amazing. All right. I want to talk a little bit more about Chelsea. You mentioned Christian Pulisic before. Mm-hmm. Obviously, an American superstar, and then playing at Chelsea, winning Champions League. What do you think is in the future for Christian Pulisic within Chelsea? Because we don't know if he's going to be a starter. As a U.S. men's national team fan, we all want him to be, but maybe that's not. Is a backup role a good fit for Christian Pulisic for the time being?
Oh, that's a tough question. You're putting me on the spot. If I were him, I would want more than that, because he's so talented, right? And not just you know, subjectively as an American and a U.S. national team fan. Like, I think objectively, he's very good. Right, like he's, you know, came back in the post-COVID break and was on fire. Yeah. You know, had battled his injuries and whatnot, but yeah, I mean, he's objectively very good. So if we're just going to keep acquiring young talent to play in attack, if I were him, I would want more. And there's reports today that Tuchel is apparently after Adama Traore from Wolves. So I don't know. If I were him, I think I'd want more than that. And I think he's better than that.
$72 million, a lot of money to pay for a backup, though, you know? I wonder who's going to buy him. What do you look at when you look at the NBA? It seems like basketball has become like a much bigger thing. I'm starting to see basketball players in the NBA swap jerseys, which is very clearly a soccer thing. You see that in the NFL as well. What is the influence of soccer on the NBA, especially international soccer? And is it a popular sport in the locker rooms?
So it wasn't, you know, when I first got in the league, which feels like, it was 6 years ago now. Shit, I'm old. 6 years ago now, it was, you know, I was kind of the weirdo. Like, we all watch actual American football. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, I'll kick the ball around the yard. But, no, so not really. Nobody really talked about it. And then more European guys started getting, you know, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, even Giannis coming in, Joel Embiid. The superstars from overseas are, you know, starting to kind of grow the game more and more. And I'm obviously thrilled to see it. But, you know, I've made some – Josh Hart is a huge Chelsea fan as well. That's my boy. Alex Caruso is a City fan. Josh Richardson is an Arsenal fan, unfortunately.
Let's go, Josh Richardson.
Fans in the NBA, damn, yo.
They don't make it. Just like everything.
One of the few. Yeah, but it's growing, and I'm thrilled to see it, because, you know, I'm, you know, trying to make our young guys get into it. You know, every chance I get, I've got the games on and talking to them about it and whatnot. So I'm glad to see it grow. Yeah, I think the jersey swapping is a great thing. I've got, like I said, I've got these jerseys down here in my basement, and that's you know, I'm glad that took over, because I think it's a really cool exchange of respect between two players. And, you know, even if there are more things brought over, I don't know about all the flopping, yeah. But, you know, we're getting there. We're trying.
And how? What about, like, you know, even like LeBron owning Liverpool?
Yeah. Which you guys play together, right?
Yeah, I played with LeBron.
There you go. Is there any, like, at least trash talk when these big tournaments are going on? Because obviously, even the, you know, maybe on a more controversial note, like the Super League, was there trash talk about that kind of stuff going on? Because it's like, yo, Bron, what are you doing?
Yeah, a little bit it was. Him buying into Liverpool at that time was, ridiculous.
Yeah. You got it to the moon before.
Yeah, exactly. To the moon, exactly.
Yeah. He's LeBron is the original Dogecoin.
It's crazy. But when Chelsea played Liverpool, there was banter back and forth between us. The whole Super League thing, I kind of stayed out of that because I knew we were right in the middle of it. I just kind of wanted to stay away from that. But no, it's great. You know, I know Bron is in Liverpool. Kevin Durant owns part of Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia Union.
I believe there's, Steve Nash does a lot. I know he has ownership with, I want to say, Mallorca in Spain.
And Vancouver. Yeah.
James Harden owns Dynamo, a part of that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's something that I'm interested in as well. You know, that's something that, ownership is
well, Larry, we have a Sunday league team called Cooligans FC that we could really use a little bit of investment.
We'd like to purchase a Christian Pulisic as well.
Okay. We play in Brooklyn. A couple of people where the Nets play. I feel like $3-4 million could really change the look of our team. That's all I'm saying.
Just make the check out to me, and don't worry about it. It will go to the team. I promise.
All right. Okay. I'll come scout. You know. I'll play.
Okay.
As long as I get to be hands on, I'm in.
Okay. Okay.
Buddy, you can play on the team.
Keeper. I'm a great keeper.
Okay.
Yeah. They use small goals, so you can lay down and still cover that.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, Larry, we have questions from some of our fans, which is Gully Squad. That is our supporters group. So let's get to their questions. We have a question from Dennis Higgins. He's a DC United supporter, and he asks, who's the best FIFA player in the NBA? Any FIFA matches you played against that were kind of tough? Because I've heard Joel Embiid is pretty good.
So I've never played Joe. I haven't played Joe, but I will say – we had a FIFA tournament with the Lakers, and I cleaned the house.
Okay, so you is the answer.
I beat Luol Deng without a problem. Ivica Zubac beat him without. Josh Hart can't even pick up a controller with me. Like, I beat Caruso. Nobody wants to see me in FIFA. Look, if you want to set up a tournament, except this new FIFA is kind of bad. I'm not good at this one.
Yeah, it's not great.
Last year or 2 years ago, oh, man. I'll tick the top of you to
yo.
Death.
All right.
Do you play with, though? You don't play with Chelsea. Would you go France national team?
What do you think I am? I'm a blue at heart. I'm nothing but Chelsea.
Okay.
Nothing but Chelsea. Or I will say the Belgian national team. I'll play with them too.
Okay. A little. Do you remember Eden Hazard back in the day when he was with Chelsea? That's what you like to do.
You said, do I remember Eden Hazard? It was like last year. He's coming back.
Yeah, I don't think you want him. Him and I got the same pant size right now. We got a question from Dimitri Parr, which this goes along with the question we were asking before. If Abramovich ever sold or released Roman stock options, or let's say Chelsea NFTs, would you ever consider owning a piece of Chelsea if that was possible?
I would swim. I would swim to go buy my piece. Yes, I would walk and swim, ride a bike. I don't care whatever mode of transportation I have to do to get there and snatch whatever piece of it I can. Take my money.
Perfect. That is amazing. Okay. Yeah, so we just got to set it up so that Roman Abramovich is standing on the other side of an Olympic pool so that you don't injure yourself in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
We have one more question. One more question is from Steve Stuka. He said, of the best father-son two-on-two teams of all time, where do the Nances land? All right.
And we were both in your prime. Let's say everyone in their prime.
Yeah. Some of the more notable father-son duos in the NBA. A couple that came to mind, Tim Hardaway Jr.
Luke Walton.
And Bill.
Yeah.
Steph and Dell.
The Currys.
How about LaMelo Ball and his dad?
Obviously the greatest basketball player ever.
Yeah, never lost. So that's a difficult one.
Gosh. I think the Curry's got us beat. That's hard.
Okay.
The Curry's got us beat. That's Steph by himself might have us beat.
Dude, what about Manute Bol and Bol Bol? Dog, who's scoring on that rim?
the bowls.
The bowl. I forgot about the bowls.
Bruh. If it's full court, you got a shot. But if it's half court, it's over.
If it's half court, we're getting dominated. I mean, it's like 7-6 against 7-3. They're playing on a little tight hoop.
Larry, thank you so much for joining us, man. This has been incredible. You're welcome back on the show anytime you want to be on. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
I've been doing this community relief effort, guys. It's important, you know, now more than ever to, you know, support your community, support your local businesses. There's charities, there's lots of ways to get in touch, get in contact and help, not just here in Cleveland, but wherever you're at. They can certainly use your help. So now's a hard time for a lot of people. If you can donate, help. There's some people that need some help. So
okay. Yeah, great. Yeah. So make sure to follow Larry on social media. I'm sure you have all the links and everything will be available
at LarryDN22.
Okay.
Yes, I'll be tweeting updates about, you know, the things I'm doing in Cleveland and ways to get involved everywhere.
Awesome.
Great.
Dude, thank you so much, man. And we have a couple last piece of business. We have to get to our Golasso gift. We're going to give you a scenario and you will celebrate a goal and we will turn it into a gift that will live on the internet forever. So, Alexis,
you can't do this with a basketball shot. You can't really celebrate, but you can with a goal.
So, Alexis, you want to give him a scenario?
Yes. For some reason, you are in Roman Abramovich's private owner's box, right? And you happen to be at the next Champions League final, Chelsea versus insert whoever, okay? For some reason, it's down to a header in the last second on a corner kick, and Roman Abramovich says, get in there. You run down there. You don't even have to jump. It bounces off your forehead, and you score a goal. You win the Champions League for Chelsea. How do you... Oh, and by the way, and that was for ownership. Now you're also a part owner. How do you celebrate?
Is this like an Allison-style header where, like, 95th minute, like...
Right, exactly.
You're falling back the whole nine.
You're wearing goalkeeper gloves for some reason. You know, you're in goal.
Well, if we had some bleachers behind me, I'd run up there and get in the stands and celebrate with the fans. But, like, I don't know. To be honest with you, I'm scooting back and giving you a big...
Yeah.
We're doing the Usain Bolt?
The Usain Bolt. I'm pointing right at my butt. Like, I'm pointing right at Abramovich, and he's, like, tapping my pockets like, you know. I need all that. You, my man. Yeah.
He's printing out your ownership certificate.
I'm kissing the badge and everything, pointing at him like, yeah, it's
yeah,
us now.
He's like, yo, give me that deed to Stamford Bridge.
Yeah. You're ripping the sleeves off your soccer jersey so it's more like a basketball jersey. You're doing it all.
Larry. Oh,
we're going to have to head down the whole thing.
Larry, thank you so much, man. Best of luck next season in the NBA. Dude, please come back on before next season begins. We could talk so much more Chelsea, so much more NBA. Absolute honor to have you on the show. So thank you so much. Everybody, please stick around. We're going to have Brazil and Arsenal legend Gilberto Silva on the show.
All three of them are going to be on the show.
Come right back.
Hey, everybody, this is Alexis. I want to break into the show with a word from one of our sponsors, Live Breathe Football. Absolutely incredible soccer specific streetwear brand. I'm not exactly sure what category they fit in. I just know that everything they sell is fly and also functional. So if you're like Christian and you play soccer, you want to get this gear. If you're like me and you just want to look fly around the game of soccer, you also want to get this gear. And I can't explain to you how dope Aboon has been to us, the owner of Live Breathe Football and the designer. He has been a supporter of our show since day one, and it's so dope to see how far the brand has come. Again, Dwayne Wade just wore his shorts, and by the way, he wasn't the only one, okay? I recently took wifey out on a trip to Puerto Rico, and I had the same exact shorts, and let me tell you something, nobody stopped me and said, yo, are you Dwayne Wade? But I felt like it, you know what I mean? I felt like $1 million. I felt like I could dunk, you know what I mean? I felt like I could open my own winery, okay? Wifey was like, why are you Googling Gabrielle Union? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just preparing myself, you know what I mean? Because I think I'm becoming Dwayne Wade, you you know? But in reality, the shorts are absolutely dope. There's always just the quality of the gear. I can't express enough. He does not, Boone does not just go out and find shorts and throw his name on it. He designs it from the ground up with you in mind. I look dope as hell in these shorts. And it's hard to get clothes for big dudes that look dope also in streetwear. And his clothes does that. It also looks good on any body type. It's absolutely incredible. You got to go to livebreathefootball.com and check out his streetwear. It's absolutely incredible. The shorts, the sweats, the workout gear, the everyday gear. It's all amazing. And if you use the code GULLIEST, you're going to get 15% off. Live, Breathe, Football, F-U-T-B-O-L, livebreathefootball.com. Go there. Put GULLIEST, spend your money. It'll be absolutely worth it. Right now, 15% off for using the code GULLIEST. LiveBreatheFootball.com. Christian, this is what we... Oh, my God. I don't even know how to react. Let me just say that as a child, okay, watching this man run up and down the pitch for my favorite club, Arsenal, he made me want to change my last name from Guerreros to Guerreros, okay?
You have a Portuguese last name all of a sudden.
Yeah. Dude, are you kidding me? I bought one of those little things for the middle of my table. You might not even understand this. It's a little thing. It's like a clay pig that you put a chorizo on it, and you put grain alcohol in it, and you light it on fire. Just because I wanted to be more Brazilian. You know what I mean? I wanted to have caipirinhas as a child. And my mom was like, get that out of there. Where did you find cachaça?
Why is there caipirinha in my baby bottle?
I know. I was dancing a samba, right?
This is
an absolute honor.
What a show.
I mean,
what a show we've had today.
I only wear this shirt when legends are on this show, okay? And who bigger then part of the Invincibles, ladies and gentlemen, now a co-worker of ours, okay? Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, even if you're driving, I want you to pull over. I want you to get out of the car for a standing ovation. So put it in park. Get out of the car, put your hands together. Yeah. Make sure it's safe. For the one, the only, Gilberto Silva, everybody.
Gilberto, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Alex and Christian. It's great to speak to you guys and be part of the show.
This is incredible. Yeah, you are now one of our co-workers. You are a part of the FUBO broadcast team for the CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers. It must be an honor for you to get to work with us, I guess.
Absolutely. I'm so excited, man. So you don't know. I've been sleepless the last few days. Now, how it's going to be, you know, I have these guys very soon. Let's see. I hope I'll be, you know, in a good level to be close to them.
Okay.
Absolutely. You already better than we could ever hope for us to be. You are actually our remote analyst. So you're going to be out there at these matches. You obviously, look, you played in the World Cup for Brazil. You won a World Cup for Brazil. Brazil's looking pretty good. What are your thoughts going into this next match day?
I'll be excited for me first, you know, work with you guys for this game for Brazil. Be very excited. You know, I'm really looking forward for this and very excited. And I'll be excited also to see how they are going to be as a team after such a long time without playing together due to the pandemic, you know. Yeah. It's so hard for everybody. But you know, honestly, I have no clue exactly how they are going to look like. But the good thing is, many of the players in the squad, they have a very good performance during the season, which is so important. And now some of them became champions in Europe, in their clubs. And I hope they bring, you know, this good energy for these two games, just to see exactly how they are, how they are going to produce football for Brazil, as we always expected. As you know, in Brazil, everyone put pressure on when a player go to the national team, want them to perform their 100% and do whatever they can to win the match.
And then when it comes to, can we talk a little bit about the comparison from when you were playing to to now, the way the Brazilian player is perceived and the way they are seen, because there's, you know, for a lot of people, Brazil, you know, my childhood, the Joga Bonito commercials and what the beauty of the game that represented. How do you see it now, where Brazil is very dominant in CONMEBOL, but when they are perceived to the rest of the world, is it any, you know, we have Neymar, we have Richarlison, we have these big players, but has it grown? Has the lore of the Brazilian player gotten bigger in world football?
Well, sometimes it's hard to compare because the time has changed a lot from my time up to now. And it's almost 20 years, basically, when we won the World Cup back in 2002. And obviously, there is a lot of quality in the squad, you know, such as Neymar, Richarlison, other players. They had a great season. They play for the bigger clubs in Europe, in the world, basically. And in fact, they got quality. But there is always... the last couple of years, that it, you know, it's quite impossible people not to compare from the old times. What happened, in my opinion, the last few years, that Brazil, some Brazilians became too much European. We lost a little bit, you know, what we used to be in terms of Joga Bonito, as you mentioned. Yeah. You know, when you look at the teams I've played back in, maybe 2002, 2006, for example, we have players that could be, you know, this kind of players to dominate the game, is play beautiful, proper Brazilian football. At some point, it became too much European. It's quite common in some case because most of the managers, you know, not exactly Tite, but most of the managers, they are the players they are playing in Europe, you know, their own style. And sometimes for the manager here, for Titi, to work on a different base is kind of difficult because of a short time to work with these players. But I expect them not to lose what made us, what is our natural ability. You know, I love when Neymar take the ball 1v1 and dribble 1-2, but he goes forwards. I don't like when he dribble and drop back. But when he get the ball, because he's fast, he got ability, you know, he's strong, he can pass 1 and 2. This break the line. This, you change the game. But I expect players like, Richarlison, any other players break the line as well, not just expect from Neymar to do it by himself. I know few things has changed, but on the other hand, you know, I believe we learn a lot in terms of compact team, but you know, there is a lot of pressure. It doesn't matter how they play, everyone's going to put pressure on them too.
That is for sure. In fact, speak a little bit about Joga Bonito. What are the things that I would say about you, having watched you perform in World Cups and on Arsenal? I wouldn't necessarily say you were... I wouldn't think Joga Bonito when I think of you. I think of you as, without you, R9 and some of those other guys couldn't have done what they did. You were the one who cleaned it up behind them. Who on this Brazil squad do you think could take your place in the earlier Brazil squads? Is there anyone that would compare to you?
Well, there are players with good quality, you know, to play in that position. Now we have Casemiro is doing well. He's one of the players when he left Brazil. And people didn't give much attention to him, you know. Disbelieve him. He went to Europe and then he went to Porto before coming back to Madrid and did fantastic at Porto. And now at Madrid, in my opinion, he's one of the most important players in the squad because he let the others play. He just carried the piano. And yeah. Fabinho, also in the squad, is another player who helped Liverpool a lot last season. He did the same kind of job. He did the dirt job, you know, if it's correct to say, to allow the others to play, very similar to what I have done to Arsenal and Brazil squad. And now Fred is another player who did well for Manchester United this season. He improved a lot. Although he's slightly different from Casemiro and Fabinho, he's sometimes more a playmaker, you know, like a second midfield, you know, number eight. But he knows how to play that position as well. But, you know, this type of players, I believe they are able to do basically carry the piano. But people, you know, the other day, you know, it's funny thing happened to me when people ask me how it was to play again with Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, and Ronaldo. I just told a little bit and said to them, you know, don't disturb them up front. You know, if you understand your job, your role, just run for them and give the ball.
What was it like trying to defend against them in training? Because I can't imagine, like, you get a good tackle on R9 on Ronaldo, and then all of a sudden, here comes Ronaldinho, and you're like, what is happening? Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, can anyone help me? What was that like?
That's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Imagine, it starts, Ronaldo was fast, you know, and he just recovered from bad injury. But Ronaldinho younger, Rivaldo as well, you know. And they come like, you know, it's like seeing in the PlayStation, you know, just run over the ball and fast and fast and fast. Oh, come on. Just go to that side, you know, and just drive them.
Pick on the other guy.
I was, you know, somehow you have to play this position I've played, you know. It's not only about to make tackle and win the balls, but you have to play with your mind. You have to be smart, how to get a ball, how to face this kind of players, because they are so smart. They are in front of you. If you try to be so smart, they kill you. You know, they just need a small space, a few seconds to get the ball, because they think ahead of you. Many, many times, what I have done is just... you know, stop their running to slow them down, you know, because when I slow them down, I had more chance, but not always I had this opportunity. And sometimes I just drive them in the position where I didn't have to be by myself to confront them. Then two against one is much better.
Smart guy.
You know, you mentioned Ronaldo, a phenomenal. It's fascinating because we have an American legend, Jimmy Conrad, who played center back, and he also said that the most difficult player he has ever played against was Ronaldo, like by far. And I'm wondering from the Brazilian perspective, because we know Fenomeno had so many injuries that really slowed down his career. How did you guys feel when he was going through that? How were you either supporting him or feeling like, you know, do you guys also think of like what could have been? Could his career even been greater than it was?
It's tough, you know, it's, because the injury he got was, you know, could be the end of his career. But he was faithful, he was strong, not only on his body to work out, but especially on his mind to work against all the stats against him. He fought hard, you know, to be back on the field because he loves the game. He got a passion. He had the fire inside of him that he wants to be back. For the country, for us, you know, in the squad, it was great to have him again. But, you know, just a few months before the World Cup in 2002, he was, you know, people was doubt of him, be part of the squad, and that he worked so hard. I remember many, many times the physio work extra time with him, you know, late in the evening, early in the morning, you know, almost, if we had training in the afternoon, in the morning, he was at the physio. Sorry. And also, in the evening, after the lunch, he went back to the physio to work by himself to be ready for the competition. And he was very important. But everyone understood that we need to help him. Because if we support him up front, he would help us.
And you guys ended up winning the World Cup. And one of the things that I look at Brazil now, it's like, you have so much talent. Tite's got all this talent in front of him. I mean, I know Gabriel Jesus would have loved to have started a little more at City. I know Neymar would have loved to have won the Champions League or even Ligue 1 this year. So there's been some missteps. But do you think it's almost being Brazil, the expectation is that you win every time? Do you think that expectation is on this current Brazil squad?
Of course. That is the expectation. Always, when you wear Brazil shirts, you must understand that. If you don't understand that when you are there, because you have doubts where you are. And but I'm sure they do understand, because they face, since, you know, our tragic moment here back in Brazil in 2014 against Germany, they understood how hard it is to wear this yellow shirt. All the history behind it, all the great players that wear that shirt. And as a fan, you know, all the country demand them to be at the top, to win everything, to win every competition. It's not always their reality, because, you know, you have the opponents, they want to beat you. Every game when you play against every team is so hard to play for Brazil. Doesn't matter if you play against the best team in the world, against, I don't know, their team who are not at the same level, you face difficulties because they play the game of their lives. You know, mm-hmm. play against Brazil is different from many, many countries, many teams. It's important, in my opinion, every player understands that. But obviously, there is maybe for the next competition, less pressure than it was in Brazil. But in the last World Cup in Russia was full of disappointment, because certainly for all of us, we expect more. The game against Belgium, when they lost, you know, was so tough to everyone. But I believe that from the last two editions, they've learned a lot. There's still few players in the squad. And I hope with this experience, they can bring it for the next competition, their next World Cup, and do what they have to do. Do what everyone expects them to do in order to win the trophy. But as we know, it's going to be so hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, every time Brazil is playing in a World Cup, I'm expecting to see them win. It's usually a surprise when it doesn't go that way. The other thing I wanted to ask about was specifically about Neymar, and what does this World Cup mean for him? There is he is under intense pressure, a lot of scrutiny. You know, people even compare him to Pelé sometimes. What does this mean? Does Neymar have to win this World Cup? I don't know how many more opportunities he will get, but what do you think this means? How does Neymar need to perform in this World Cup?
I believe this the moment for him, probably as a player, on his maturity, on his age, you know, maybe can be the best moment for him. He's more mature, of course. There's a lot of things to learn, and a lot of expectation on him, obviously, because everything he built over the past years is normal that everyone expects from him. It's like when we had Ronaldo. Everyone expects Ronaldo to win the game. But it's going to be important everyone understand what they have to do in order to Neymar do well up front, give you all the support. The players around him have the personality to stand up and fight together up front. We had Ronaldo, for example, back in time, but we have Rivaldo, strong personality. Right. If he has to try for the goal, he tried. He didn't care about Ronaldo. We had Ronaldinho, the same. And the other players on the bench, when they come on, they want, you know, if it was possible to replace Ronaldo, they would do. Because it's part of their nature, because they are hunger to be part of the team, yeah, to be one of the first 11. It's important to have everyone, despite the fact they respect Ronaldo, Neymar, but they want to be at the same level. They want to be on the side of him, to help him, scoring goals or create opportunities for others. Because in the end of the day, when you win, people don't speak about who was the best guy who won.
Yeah. You know,
this is the conversation.
Yeah.
I have to ask. I know we're going to get to plugs, but I have to ask, if Gilberto, if you were the director of football operations for Arsenal, Now we're going into a summer. Arsenal had a really bad season, right? Would you fire Arteta and why?
That's a big question.
Big question. Well, listen, it's hard. This is a hard question. You put me against the wall, but let me give you some explanation before I answer. I would give him another year. Why? After Arsene Wenger, for any manager, it would be so hard.
Right.
For every manager after Arsene. I always spoke about that. You know, that was going... People was starting to miss Arsene a few years later. And they brought Unai, but he didn't have maybe a longer time. Maybe because of his English people became impatient to him. It was a lot of pressure. But he was a hard worker. A very hard worker. And they brought Mikel, an awesome next player, but without the experience of Unai.
Right, yeah.
It's tough. I believe it's tough. Tough job because they have to do a lot of job for Arsenal in order to compete with the other team. Arsenal was not the same level as Manchester City, Liverpool, United. And when you bring a manager, you must give it them players. Otherwise, you know, I spoke in the past, they need a midfield. They brought Partey, but it's not enough. They need to bring another midfield. They need to bring defenders. And in order to have a compact team, they have guys up front. I don't know whether Aubameyang, how long is going to keep scoring for Arsenal at the same level. He dropped this season compared to the last season. Yeah. And now, this is the point. But I would give him this season to prove himself.
Well, you know, I would gladly take ex-Everton player Mikel Arteta as a manager. We don't have a manager at all, so I would love him.
Yeah. Well, lost a great man, a great manager, you know.
Right, heartbreak.
Put salt in that wound, Gilberto. That's right. You just lost your manager.
Just lost a manager.
Yep.
Gilberto, thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely honored to have you.
It's been an honor.
Of the Fubo team. We're excited to work with you even more. Is there anything you want to let people know about before we let you go?
Well, if people want to follow me in my social media, that is on Instagram and Twitter, Gilberto Silva, and is Blue Tag, you know, it's easy to find out.
Those fake ones.
And Gilberto Silva, the Invisible Wall podcast, you know, we spoke a lot of Arsenal and some general conversation football, you know. We stopped for a little bit, you know, end of the season. But we start again, me and a friend of mine and the co-host, Tim Chase, you know. And, you know, also, me and Tim Chase, we have a good partnership in a platform called True Challenge, where people can subscribe and create a challenge. You know, if they want to know more about the platform, go there, truechallenge.co.uk, and find out how to they create their own challenges, invite friends, and have fun.
Okay, that's pretty cool. We will check it out. Thank you so much, Gilberto.
Pleasure.
And best of luck covering the World Cup qualifier matches for Conmebol. Thank you again for joining us. We also have the Golasso gift. So this is we've never done this with an Invincible.
With a World Cup winner.
So we will give you the opportunity to celebrate a goal on our show. We will clip it out, turn it into a gift. It is an absolute honor. Alexis, do you want to give him a scenario that he can celebrate?
Okay, here's the scenario. It was Arsenal versus Unai Emery in the Europa League semifinals. And there's there's just enough time for one more goal. It's a free kick. And they bring you in. For some reason, Gilberto, you come in.
Out of retirement.
Okay, you've got your old kit on you. You got the old Nike kit, right? You come in, and it falls to you, and you happen to score it. You scored in the final seconds. How are you celebrating?
Too high. Arsenal! Last minute.
Love it. Incredible.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Good.
United States. What a great, I mean, it might have been the loudest celebration we've had so far. So thank you. Everybody, make sure you follow at Fubo Sports on all social channels. Subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel as well for full episodes of the program. Check out the Comebol World Cup qualifiers right here on Fubo Sports Network, where you can catch Gilberto Silva. Follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all channels as well. All right, so we're going to end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. Gilberto, we're absolutely honored to have you participate with us in this. So let us end the show. So for Gilberto Silva, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans! Alexis Guerreros.